Our scripture reading this afternoon you will find in the Gospel according to John chapter 3. I will read the first 15 verses. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So far the reading of God's holy word. Our text this afternoon is verse 12. "If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am sure that the words toward the close of what I will now have to call the old Lord's Supper formulary are very familiar to you. It says that we may be nourished with Christ, the true bread from heaven. Let us lift up our hearts to Christ Jesus, our advocate, at the right hand of his heavenly Father. And then that formula wants to encourage us. It says, let us firmly believe all his promises, not doubting that we shall be nourished and refreshed with his body and blood through the working of the Holy Spirit, as surely as we receive the bread and wine in remembrance of him. You hear it. That formulary speaks of being nourished with Christ, the true bread from heaven. To that end, it admonishes us to lift up our hearts to Christ Jesus, our advocate, note well, at the right hand of his heavenly Father. And it encourages us to believe, yes, to believe all his promises, not doubting that we shall be nourished and refreshed with his body and blood through the working of the Holy Spirit, as surely as we receive the bread and wine in remembrance of him. See, there the foundation of our joy and rejoicing. Well, now, when you listen carefully to those words, well, then you hear that we are called to faith. Yes, we are called to believe. Believe the sure promises of God, they say. And all who do, they will surely see. That is, they will experience the joy of salvation in Jesus Christ. Well, that is what the text is all about. Simply put, the text says, believe, then you will see. The man Nicodemus had gone to Jesus to talk to him about the kingdom of God. And when you listen to that conversation for a bit, well, then the thought all of a sudden strikes you. This is interesting. Yes, this is important. I must listen with care. You see, Jesus had, by this time, been preaching the gospel of the kingdom for some time already. And there had indeed been some response. The fact is, men like Nathanael and Peter had begun to understand something of the remarkable things that were happening in their day. Oh, it's true. They were just simple folk. They surely were not specially trained in the seminaries of their day, folk. But their eyes were being opened to the kingdom of God. Yes, they were beginning to see, to understand, to grasp it. But how in the world was that possible? How was it possible that a simple, unschooled man like Peter was beginning to understand and so was ahead of a smart man like Nicodemus? How come he, Peter, saw what Nicodemus simply didn't see at all? Well, Peter and others with him, others like him, had bowed before the authority of Christ's preaching. Yes, they had yielded themselves to the authority of his sovereign word. That, as you will surely know, yes, that is important for us who live after Pentecost, right? Well, now, just so, it was important also for those who lived before Pentecost. Remember, they had heard Jesus say, "Truly, truly, I say to you." And they had heard also his word of encouragement. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them. And right afterwards, this word of warning. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them. With which Jesus had closed his Sermon on the Mount. Then John testifies, We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, now, that tells us there is a foundational rule of Christ's kingdom. First believe, then you will see. First become as a child. Then and so, you'll become wise unto salvation. You see, the question must now be answered. Why had Nicodemus seen nothing of that? Why they understood nothing? Why had the dawning of the kingdom escaped him, though he, as it were, stood right in the midst of it? You could say he was caught in the dragnet. So why? Why did he not understand? Well, because Nicodemus had allowed himself to be led by a typically sinful approach to life. See, Nicodemus had let himself be led by a philosophy that says, seeing is believing. First, it says, first you must see, experience, put to the test, prove. Only then can you, only then should you believe. Well, now, such was the world of thinking in which Nicodemus lived. But he had nevertheless noticed something. He had sensed that something new was happening in his day. Remember, there had already been the preaching of John the Baptizer, and there were the signs and the wonders and the preaching of Jesus, who taught them as one who had authority and not as their scribes, says Matthew. But that the glory of the coming age was beginning to break through, that there were already children of Father Abraham who were embracing the kingdom and seeing awesome things, that was something Nicodemus had not seen at all. It had simply escaped him, passed by him. And now if there was not a radical change in this man, if he did not now come to accept that also his thinking had to bow before the preaching of John and Jesus, now if he refused to recognize that he too had to submit to the ground rule of the kingdom of God, namely, first believe in all that afterward you may see. First accept the word, and then declare what you have taken in, what you have received. If he would not bow to that rule, well, then much more would surely escape him. Think of it. Nicodemus had already been losing out on what Jesus speaks of here as earthly things in verse 12. But if there is not a change in him, a radical change, then he will also miss out on what Jesus speaks of as the heavenly things here. Just listen. Hear Jesus say to Nicodemus, if I have told you earthly things, and you, Nicodemus, do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Then surely those heavenly things would altogether escape him. The question that must therefore be answered is, what did Jesus mean? What is Jesus saying to Nicodemus here and to us now? To understand that, we have to remember that up to that time, both John and Jesus had spoken about what Jesus here talks about as earthly things. That is, they had talked about the kind of things of the kingdom of God that had already been made known before. Both John and Jesus have talked about and have proclaimed that a person, that you and I, we must come to newness of life. And see, that message was not at all a new message for Israel then. After all, the Lord had before this clearly spoken about the circumcision of the heart. Think, for example, of Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. In that passage, Moses talks about repentance and forgiveness. You see, if the people of the Lord, who were then again guilty of covenantal disobedience, if those covenant-breaking people would return to the Lord in repentance, then, said the Lord, then I, the Lord your God, will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Oh yes, such was indeed the age-old message. For the fact is, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. Remember, the prophet Jeremiah had clearly said that the birth of the flesh does not make you an heir of the kingdom. But Nicodemus had failed to understand that message. Yes, he had failed to understand that John and Jesus had preached nothing more and nothing other than that age-old message. And think of it, Nicodemus had not really said a clear amen to that preaching. The fact is, Nicodemus had not accepted the testimony, the witness of John and Jesus, as they too had proclaimed, had taught, had preached that age-old message. Well, now, that means that this man who knew the Torah, who was a member of the Old Testament church, he was a ruler of the Jews, remember, who no doubt had faithfully attended the worship services in the synagogue for many, many years. This man had never yet learned to bow before the Word of God. He, a man who knew the Scriptures, he had never yet submitted himself to the preaching of Jesus, as Jesus spoke of what he here calls the earthly things. See, that is why simple folk, unschooled men like Peter and Nathanael, went ahead of him. And things were fast becoming much more serious. After all, if Nicodemus did not believe the earthly things about the kingdom of God, if he would not bow before the authority of Christ's word revelation, as he and the prophets before him had preached it up till that time, yes, if he would not bow before Christ's truly, truly, I say to you, admonitions, then how would he ever understand the heavenly things? How would he ever understand the things of the kingdom that had not as yet been revealed? How would he ever be able to accept what had never yet been revealed or heard or seen before. To be sure, the earthly things, that is, the things already made known, surely the earthly things were and they are marvelous things. Think of it. People who were dead in sin were born again of water and the Spirit. People who were slaves to sin could live again as children of the kingdom. People who were cut off as islands could live again in covenant fellowship with the Lord. Surely that was and that is a marvelous thing. Ah, yes, it is great and wonderful, beyond human words can possibly express. But the heavenly things, the things Jesus was still going to say, the things he would still reveal about the kingdom. See, the heavenly things were and they are much more wonderful by far. And see, if Nicodemus would not accept the preaching of Jesus, which he had already heard, that believing he may see, how then is he going to believe when Jesus, pretty soon, is going to say that he, by dying, will gain and will give the gift of life, that is life eternal. Ah, yes, how is he going to believe it, that the Christ would not only have to die on a cross, but that afterwards he would rise from the dead and be crowned with glory and honor in the heavens? How will he ever believe that a kingdom was about to come that will surely conquer the whole world by means of spiritual powers, by the power of the resurrection word, yes, by the power of the Pentecost Spirit poured out by the risen and ascended Lord in glory? You can be sure such will all seem more and more foolish to him then. Think of it. He already finds it foolish to hear talk about born-again people. He's convinced that he has never, ever seen such a person. How foolish then is everything going to seem when the way of the Lord leads to Golgotha and Easter, to ascension and Pentecost. Ah, you see, as long as this man hangs on to his own born of this world philosophy, he won't believe a thing concerning the Christ. Now he still comes to Jesus, for now it still concerns earthly things in the preaching of Jesus. Now he still comes to question Jesus, to debate with Jesus. But if he does not make a radical change, why then, pretty soon, when he is told about and confronted with the heavenly things, see, then he will reject Jesus as the greatest foolishness of all, as many of his fellow Jews, in fact, would do and still do to this very day. Well, now, it is precisely here that we too have to beware. Because, you see, that sinful approach to life, first I want to see, to test, to prove, then I will believe. That sinful approach has its appeal for us also. It is our sinful inclination also to subject the word of the Lord about the kingdom of the Lord to our thinking. Then we test Jesus by our thinking rather than have our thinking tested by the word of Christ. We must remember well, as long as we do that, we are not going to see the kingdom of God, even though we are in the midst of it and it surrounds us. And not until we recognize and confess that it is our own proud thinking that stands in the way of, that keeps us from bringing every thought captive to obey Christ's word, not until that pride is broken are we going to see the glory of our Lord and the kingdom which he brings. And only so will we learn the greatest, the most important lesson of our life. This: it all starts with believing. See, not the smart, not the learned are first in the kingdom. Rather, those who have bowed in humility before the Word of God made flesh. Those who have embraced with a believing heart what they have not seen, they are first in the kingdom of our Lord. Truly, truly, I say to you, said Jesus, yes, his word is the truth. He speaks with authority, and we must learn as children. See, so it is that only with a childlike faith we today can and do believe that the bread and wine of the Lord's table communicate to us the body and blood of the Lord. Remember it well. Without that faith, there is only some bread here and some wine. But we believe the sure word of Christ. And so we see. Yes, we see, and so we experience that Christ our Lord nourishes us and strengthens us at his table. Yes, he gives us strength for today and a bright hope for tomorrow. So it is he gives to us the courage to live as children of the King, to live kingdom lives, to live as heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ, of the gift of life that is life eternal. That is our joy today, forever. Praise the Lord. Amen.